You're now listening to Crunch Time. No hot takes, no gimmicks. You love sports, he lives them. So buckle up your chin straps, because it's time to wrap up your workday with Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
National Signing Day is in the books, finally. Early period, done. Lots of activity in the NCAA transfer portal, done. And then the traditional signing period yesterday wrapped up with press conferences and ceremonies and kids throwing hats on the ground violently and ripping off shirts and putting on other shirts and dressed up like, I don't know, old school McDonald's cartoon characters. It was bizarre, craziness stuff that occurred yesterday for National Signing Day. We're going to recap it all for you today here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. Appreciate you on this bizarre day of weather. When I hosted my morning show this morning, I got to work at 5:30 and it was 70 degrees. It is not 70 degrees now outside. Cold, windy, and wet. Appreciate you listening to us, whether it's in your on your radio dial during your afternoon commute home or on the free 103.7 The Game mobile app or on Alexa, Google Home. And of course, you can catch yours truly, Raymond Parts III, as well as the producer extraordinaire James Mesh right here on the simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber. We got two guests lined up for today. Cody Juno, Raging Cajun sideline football reporter, a man who knows that program better than most, is going to join us at 4:30 to give his thoughts on the final haul for Coach Dez and his staff for National Signing Day. That's coming up at 4:30. We'll talk Raging Cajuns with Cody Juno. At 5:30, Mike Scarborough will join us to recap LSU's day, which for a lot of Tiger fans was a tad disappointing as guys they recruited hot and heavy turned them down to go to Miami, Alabama, and Texas A&M in Florida. Three of those came inside the state of Louisiana. But they did salvage the day by getting a five-star linebacker out of Texas from Houston, originally from New Orleans, transferred there after Katrina, his family did. He's going to be probably a day one starter for the Tigers. And they still signed 27 guys total, only two yesterday, but they got a lot of kids early in the process, and then, of course, the NCAA transfer portal. So a lot of signing day talk. We'll also touch on NFL, and we'll, of course, take your phone calls. Hotline's always open here on 103.7 The Game. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. But let's start off today's show not talking signing day. No. We're going to pause on that just briefly. I want to talk about the accusations that were bantered about on the air yesterday by the producer extraordinaire sitting across from me. Became fodder for a poll question. And you, Acadiana, believed that two honest people on the morning shows were part of this great Chicken McNugget caper. And I don't know what to say. I thought over the last 3+ years, we'd built up some type of relationship, built up some type of trust out there listening. Thought you trusted RP3. But yet, you overwhelmingly said that it was myself or Hannah Five Names, who literally had her bowling ball stolen over the weekend. And you thought we stole James Mesh's Chicken McNugget. First of all, mama didn't raise no fool. Boom. You think for a minute, if I saw somebody's Chicken McNuggets and I tried to take one without asking, what do you think would happen? I'm 43 years old. My mama would find me and slap me upside my big bald head. She'll be like, I didn't raise you to be that. Get it together. And Five Names is the same way. Yet we find out it was not yours truly. It was not Hannah Five Names that stole James Mesh's Chicken McNugget and then complained about it being cold, which is just the icing on the cake of this whole ordeal, as we find out yesterday while Nick Fondo was on with James Mesh. No, it was in fact the world-famous Clint Domain, host of Under the Dome Saturdays right here on 103.7 The Game, former longtime producer of Acadiana Sports Station.
I coined him as now world infamous. He's no longer world famous. He's infamous.
I messed with him so hard yesterday, man. I went into his office. I was like, CD, hey, let me ask you a question. He's like, oh, I says, let me see. If I grab your phone right now and I call mom in your phone and I get Mrs. Domain on the phone and I tell her what happened and I ask her, did you raise your son to steal other people's food without asking? What do you think she's going to say? He just put his head down. He says, she's going to say no. I said, well, then why did you do it? And then on top of it, you complained about the quality of the food that you stole.
I asked if it was worth it. He was like, no, not really.
That guy.
I was like, what?
That guy. That cat. That guy's another level. God bless him. God bless him.
I honestly thought Jim was going to go unscathed, but a few people end up voting for him.
They're like, well, he's a big guy. Might as well vote for him.
Because I gave a few hints, and even Nick kind of, at the beginning, he said he. It was like, okay, well, that eliminates Hannah. But Hannah got the most votes. I was like, okay.
Just, I was like, what are you doing, CD? What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, man.
It was just so casual, too, when I got there yesterday. He was like, hey, yeah, thanks for the nugget. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And I was like, wait a minute. I had McDonald's yesterday, and I had a 20-piece, and he took one from one of my 10-pieces.
We literally, just before we went on the air, and Clint walked back here in the hallway, and my daughter is hanging out in my office right now. I picked her up from school, waiting for her mom to come scoop her up. So she's 7, second grader. I looked at her, I go, and Clint's right there in the hallway. I go, Hattie, I go, well, is it okay if you steal somebody else's food without asking? And she's like, no, no. You have to ask permission first and see if they'll give you one. The 7-year-old knew better. The 7-year-old knows better. Clint Domain, well over the age of 30, said, it's okay. It's okay. We're living in an era of a global pandemic. It's okay. I'm just going to go handle all your food while digging out a chicken McNugget.
And I never would have noticed because there were still like 8 at the time, so he took one when it was still pretty full, so I wouldn't have noticed.
God bless him. We love him.
Self-report.
Self-reporting violation. What a mess. All right, let's start off the conversation today, though, with National Signing Day. What'd you make of the two classes? Because this is my impression. And I thought Coach Dez and the Raging Cajuns had a solid class. I thought it's exactly what they needed to do. They had a number of guys that are coming off the books, so to speak, the super seniors. So you can't replace those guys, James, because of the NCAA requirement for your roster. So they had limited amount of scholarships that they could give out, right? And they were very, very focused on what they needed to do. They did what? They addressed their offensive line. They lose 4 starters from last year's team. Ken Marks, Shane Vallow, starting left tackle, starting center. They're gone. They've graduated.
Osiris Torrance
transferred to Florida to go play for Billy Napier. Max Mitchell preparing for the NFL draft. He's in the Senior Bowl, apparently wowing the scouts, which we kind of anticipated. So what does Dez and his staff do? They sign a big, massive kid from Pineville High School, offensive lineman. They sign a big, massive kid, offensive lineman, from Opelousas High. And then they confirm the NCAA transfer portal addition, the big fella from Michigan State. And that adds to the guy that they signed out of Grand Lake during the early period in December, who began his career at Barb. So he played against 5A competition until Hurricane Laura came through, and he had to find a home at Grand Lake. So you got a guy that's played at the highest level in high school as well. So 3 high school offensive linemen and a transfer. And they still have talent, right? You think about the guys. Gilly is going to be the anchor now, right? And he started half of the games last year because Osiris got injured. You got the kid from ULM that couldn't play this year, the transfer. You got the big fella from Mandeville, the big giant, the 6'7" guy that I watched play track down a Lafayette High linebacker who picked up a fumble and he thought he was going to take it back for a touchdown, and the big 6'7", 300-pound monster ran him down across the field and pushed him out of bounds. He played at Mandeville 2 years ago. So you still have him. You still have Jax Harrington from Erath, who got some playing time last year but got banged up and had to miss the rest of the season. So you got guys that are coming back that have some experience, that have some playing time. You're adding a Michigan State transfer who has playing time. And so you address your offensive line needs. Great. And then they still had a few spots here for the traditional period where they go out, they get the wide receiver out of Zachary, who was supposed to commit during the early period. He'd helped his team win a state championship. Double-digit touchdowns, more than 1,000 yards receiving. Catches everything his way. So you get a skill position guy. And then they added a running back. A running back that they weren't high on at first and had to go see him in person. And when you heard Coach Dez talk about him yesterday, and then you heard Tim Leger as well talk about him, they liked him a lot. They liked him a lot. So they did good. They only signed, what, 13 guys total, had one of those guys be a transfer portal, and they're set. They address their needs, and they'll go into the spring hitting the ground running. The big disappointment for a lot of folks yesterday was, of course, LSU, right? And this is why. LSU targeted Trevante Citizen, Lake Charles College prep running back. They targeted Danny Lewis, Westgate tight end that helped the Tigers win a state championship. They targeted Ponchatoula safety, right? Jacoby Stephen, who was a one-time commit. And then they had looked at a kid out of Texas as a wide receiver, right? They didn't get any four of those guys. Citizen stuns everybody by going to Miami. Miami had a pretty good national signing, a surprising national signing day. He goes to Miami. The tight end from Westgate goes to Alabama. And then the safety from Ponchatoula ends up going to Texas A&M for their record-breaking best recruiting class of all time. So, not great. But here's the thing. Yes, you miss out on a couple of guys. Absolutely. You miss out on more than a few guys. You miss out on the guys that you were really hoping to get. That includes Caleb Douglas, the Texas wide receiver who opted not to go with LSU and decided to go to Florida instead. Jacoby Matthews, not Stevens. I think I said Stevens. I apologize. Jacoby Matthews ends up going to Texas A&M. Danny Lewis goes to Alabama. But you do get a five-star linebacker, one of the top prospects in the country out of Houston. Harold Perkins. That kid is so good, he's going to be a starter. Like they talk like Devin White type of stuff. So you do get him at the tail end of National Signing Day. You also got another cornerback. Okay. Also got another cornerback out of Texas. So you add some depth. Once again, the majority of LSU's work was done in the transfer portal, which we knew that was going to be the case. They also signed a bunch of guys during the early signing period. I know it's disappointing, but this is what I'd say for both Cajun fans and LSU fans. It's a transitional year. Look at anyone. Saban, when he first got to Alabama. Saban, when he first got to LSU. Les Miles, when he first got to LSU. Ed Orgeron, it does not matter. When it's the first year, it's the transition year. It's your first year. You don't have the proper amount of time to be recruiting these kids for a full year. You're still putting together your coaching staffs. It's a transitional year. It's a transitional year. And with all the transfer portal guys, LSU still had a very good class. UL had a very good class as well. Good transitional classes for both Brian Kelly and Coach Dez. That's what I would say. I know people are disappointed. Why did Citizen leave? Why couldn't they secure those guys? Look, Louisiana produces so much talent. Other programs come in the state and poach them. It's been that way for a decade plus, guys. Just has been. That's part of the game. It's part of the game. Let's head out to the hotline. Welcome on T to the show. T, good afternoon to you, brother. What's on your mind?
What's up, Raymond? You doing all right, buddy?
Look, I'm talking sports on the radio, and I got you joining me, bud. How could I not be doing good?
You got okay. First of all, I think I have a solution for you. You got a little small problem at 103.7 with Hannah Fivening. Being as you're making all this overtime and CD steals things, I think you and CD need to buy Hannah Five Names a bowling ball.
There it is. Thank you, T. Thank you. Have a great afternoon. My man's coming up with solutions.
Wait, what? No, wait. I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen, though.
All right, okay? Bud. Go ahead.
Okay. Who has more deflections after spring ball? LSU, Bama, or A&M? I'll hang up and listen.
Ooh.
Love you, show, my man.
Thank you, bud. You know, it's so tough to gauge that because the transfer portal makes it so easy for kids to leave now, right? I mean, we had multiple players off of both Georgia and Alabama's team, James, within the first 4 to 5 days of the national championship game, enter the transfer portal. We're talking starters. Leave. You literally just played for a national title. You're like, I'm in the transfer portal. So it's made it the wild, wild west, T. It just has. So I could see any three of those. But I'm going to throw one out at you. I don't think it's LSU. I think Brian Kelly has endeared himself to those guys. I think those guys that are there, look, they were so low on numbers that I don't see guys leaving because everyone's going to have an opportunity to impress the coaching staff to make the team. I think Alabama rides the ship a little bit. The one to look out for of the three is Texas A&M, James. That's how I feel about this. And this is the reason why. You just had the top recruiting class of all time. Everyone's telling you how great you are. You got some guys coming back. What if these early enrollees and whatnot don't impress? We just saw Alabama and Georgia get poached and have guys leave after playing for a national championship game less than a week after playing it. What makes you think that if some guys aren't getting run during spring ball over in College Station that they won't go, well, you know what, I'm going into the portal. I want to go somewhere else. No, everyone is vulnerable now. So I guess my answer, and I'm cheating, T, I say all three, but I'm leaning towards A&M. I can't tell you why. It just feels like they're being awarded the best recruiting class of all time, and we'll see how that goes after spring ball and after you have some guys that aren't getting playing time. James, what do you think?
Out of those three, who do I think had the best?
Well, no. I mean, by rankings-wise, it was A&M, but T was asking, who do you think is going to have the most guys start to transfer out after spring ball? Will it be LSU, Alabama, or will it be A&M?
I think with how many people that Texas A&M got, maybe it'd be them, since some of them might not get the playing time that they would hope they would get.
Correct, and you have returning players that now are going to feel like, well, I'm not going to get playing time now because you just signed this 5-star and this other 5-star and this 4-star and this 4-star. And obviously you're not happy with my performance, so I'm going to go someplace where I am, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably go to another SEC school anyway.
Think about, this is the world we live in. The starting cornerback for LSU last year, early in the season, is going to be playing at Alabama. In Elias Ricks. The starting quarterback for LSU is going to be playing in College Station. Two starting defensive backs from Arkansas are going to be at LSU. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of just one of the starting wide receivers for Georgia, a national champion, is going to be at Alabama. I'm telling you, man, it's like these guys are just collecting jerseys. It's just like they're collecting jerseys.
How many teams can I play for in like 3 years?
How many teams can I play for in 3 years? How many skins can I put up on the wall, so to speak? It's absolutely the Wild Wild West. The NCAA transfer portal has made it so. And NIL deals as well. Biggest stunner for LSU yesterday. We know Jacoby was leaning. We heard A&M was making a push. It has to be the big fella from Westgate. I thought for sure he was going to go to LSU because of the Kayshon Boutte connection. His former teammate in high school, already at LSU. Bama comes in and wows him with a last minute visit. That's got to be the one there where you go, right? If you're LSU, that's the one you go, really? Really?
I really thought Lewis would have come to LSU, especially you dance and do a video with Brian Kelly and you still don't go? That's, I don't know. That one caught me off guard.
Well, once again, we just had an LSU tight end come play for the Tigers, quit on the Tigers, leave school, go into the transfer portal, go to another school,
and then come
get
back.
Out of that school, get out of that school, come back for another visit to come back to LSU, and then end up going to Georgia and then leave the team there too. Like, what? This is the world we live in now, man. Absolutely bananas. Absolutely bananas. We got to take a timeout. Hotline's open. Keep those phone calls coming. 337-706-0111. You're listening to yours truly, Raymond Parsons III, better known as RP3, filling in here on Crunch Time. I'm joined by the producer extraordinaire, James Mesh, and we're inside the 103.7 The Game studios. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Back to more Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Welcome back to 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. I'm your fill-in host today, Raymond Parts III, better known as RP3. I'm joined, of course, by the producer extraordinaire, James Mesh, and we are broadcasting live from the 103.7 The Game studios. Let's head back out to the hotline, talk a little bit more National Signing Day, I do believe, with our guy, Blue. Blue, good afternoon, brother. What's on your mind?
Well, how you doing, man? I didn't know you didn't know how to operate in the afternoon without five names helping you out. But I guess you're doing okay.
She props me up, bud. She props me up.
Hey, I'm calling. I got two comments real quick, and I'm going to listen to what you got to say. One of them is I saw that Texas A&M, that stuff to where you can pay the players now. They spent like $1.3 million on players that they recruited, you know. So that helps out a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. There's no guarantee that you're going to keep them, right? You had the one kid out of Texas, I do believe, high school prospect, got the million-dollar NIL deal to go to Ohio State, didn't become the starter, and now he transferred out, and I think he's, what, at Texas, right? He transferred somewhere else. So he didn't even last a full year, Blue. He didn't even last a full year, man.
And the comment I wanted to make about the NFL overtime, it's like that's the only sport. Why is that the only sport? Like, say, put 5 minutes on the clock and just play the 5 minutes. Every other sport has, like the NBA, they add 5 minutes. The college adds 5 minutes, and you play that. Why can't they do that in the NFL? Like, say 10 minutes. You play 10 minutes. And that way, you might get the ball three times, or you might get it just one time. But you play the 10 minutes and see what happens. What you think about that?
I love that idea, man. Someone brought that up to me recently as well. Just let them have 5 minutes each and see what happens. And then after that, you go to sudden death, right? Then after that, but you give each team 5 minutes to play, and you know you go back to that Buffalo Kansas City game. Well, if you do that, then Josh Allen at least has a chance to answer Patrick Mahomes' touchdown score, right? And then we're talking maybe a Buffalo-Cincinnati AFC championship game instead of Cincinnati-Kansas City. So, yeah, I'm all about that, bud. That's a great idea.
Okay, man. Nice listening to y'all. See, talk to you later. Thank you.
You're welcome, bud. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. So, yeah, the NIL stealth is just going to be – look, it's going to get to the point where it's just going to be flooding with so much money that you're going to have guys never play that are going to get huge paychecks. They just are. I mean – go back to Bryce Young at Alabama. Correct me if I'm wrong, James. $1 million NIL deal before he even took a snap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, they ended up working out pretty well for Alabama. They went to a national championship game, and Bryce won the Heisman, even though his teammate on the defensive side of the football is the one that deserved it, but I digress. This is what it is now. Look, someone made the joke, have you ever been to College Station? It's not like there's a lot of industry, not like a lot of businesses over there for deep pockets. Texas A&M is known for producing some of the brightest and best engineers for the oil and gas field in the world. Okay? Just their agriculture and mechanical school. Their engineering program is top-notch. My dad worked in the oil field for 30-plus years. So many of the guys that he worked with offshore that were engineers went to Texas A&M. I assure you there's plenty of money. It may not be there. You may not go to College Station. You may go, where's all this money coming from? It's coming from oil field. It's coming from deep pockets. It's coming from corporations. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from boosters. And it's always been there. Let's not get distracted by NIL thinking that this is now all of a sudden now we have money in college sports. Just watch any of the 30 for 30s. Watch Pony Excess. duffel bags of cash were dropped off on recruits' doorsteps in the 70s in the old Southwest Conference. Cars, brand new Trans Ams showed up in driveways with the keys in them. Here you go. It's always been there. It's always been there. Every program does it. Every program has somebody on the fringes that's doing things. It's been repeated over and over again from SMU to Alabama to USC to Miami. It happens everywhere. This just makes it a little bit more out in the open. Hey, come on down. Here's your NIL deal. There you go. Now you can just have the transaction be done in public, in front of everybody. That's all. That's the only difference. It's always been this way. It's just different now because it's out in the open. And people that may have been hesitant to funnel money to players back in the day through boosters or whatnot, that didn't want to be associated with anything going on that could be possibly illegal or tampering, well, now NIL allows them to do it because it's legal. See how that works. We got to take a timeout. Good start to today's show. Good callers. I expected more from James Mesh, but he'll have time to raise his game as we go along. He's a little off today. That's okay. He's still reeling from the Chicken McNugget caper from the last few days. When we return, though, we're going to talk Raging Cajun signing day with our guy Cody Juno, sideline reporter for Raging Cajun football. That'll be coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber.
103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station, is more than just sports talk.
One-stop shop for mind, body, and soul.
Follow us on social media for the latest happenings in the world of sports. Just search at 103.7 The Game on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Now, back to more 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station.
Hey, Louisiana, sports betting is officially here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Treasure Chest Casino. Right now, new customers can place their first bets risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit when you use promo code KLWB. That's why now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. The app is simple and easy to use with generous promos every day. It's safe and secure with best-in-class customer support, and when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook with promo code KLWB to get started with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KLWB. You must be 21 and older and present in Louisiana. First online real money wager only. Refund used as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you or someone you know has a gambling addiction and wants help, call 1-877-770-STOP.
Welcome back to Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. I'm your host for the day, Raymond Parts III, better known as RP3. Joining me here in the 103.7 The Game studios, of course, is the producer extraordinaire, James Mesh. It's time for us to talk all things Raging Cajuns. It's time for us to talk National Signing Day with a man who knows this team better than anyone else. Yeah, I said it. When you're on the sidelines during games, when you're air at practices, seeing what's going on behind the scenes, you get to know a team better than anyone else. And that's what our next guest is. It's our good friend Cody Juno. Cody, good afternoon to you, bud. How you doing?
Hey, RP3. What's happening, bud?
Before we dive into the National Signing Day discussion, I need to ask you a pertinent question. It's a serious question, and I need you to be forthright and honest, okay?
You got it.
All right, bud. We had an incident here at the studio a few days earlier.
Uh-oh.
Our guy, the world-famous CD, Clint Domain, stole a Chicken McNugget from our producer James Mesh's lunch, and then afterwards somewhat complained about the fact that it wasn't really worth stealing. What should the proper reaction be to this this crime?
Yeah, so I guess the grass isn't greener, right? I think is the big takeaway for Clint, right? Grass isn't always green on the other side, so don't go ahead and steal that Chicken McNugget. And then I think he owes our guy James at least another, you know, 6-8 count, whatever it might have been.
That's right, because of possible contamination, Clint should have to buy James at least a 6 or an 8 piece, is what you're saying.
Yeah, something along those lines, and a prize and a drink, and you know, if you get lucky on that day and the ice cream machine's working, throw a cone in there too.
Ooh. James, Cody's your guy now, right? I mean,
I'm liking the way this sounds. I'm liking how this sounds.
Poor Clint.
You know, truthfully, I feel a little bad for James having to do that read. I mean, my man deserves a reward after that.
See? Hey, you know what? I do believe the $6 meal of the day is the McNugget meal. So, Clint, if you're listening, go hook up your boy James for dinner. All right, bud, let's get the shenanigans aside. Let's talk about this signing class for Coach Dez. I like it because, for one reason, they definitely went after the needs that they had to polish off this class, and that was offensive line. They signed two guys out of high school, and they finalized the transfer from Michigan State. Total, they add four offensive linemen for the period. I like that. They didn't have a ton of spots available, Cody, but that's what they did. What do you make of what they did?
No, I mean, I think you're spot on, right? So I think first framing it in the fact to understand that the Cajuns just had, you know, they ended up signing 13, a coming out in the signing class and getting one in the transfer portal. So not a whole lot of scholarships to go around, right? That has to do with the fact that the way the Cajuns have recruited over the last couple of years, you add the extra year of the NCAA eligibility because of COVID, and all of a sudden I think the Cajuns are staring something like 96 scholarships in the face, right? So not a whole lot to go around. And quite frankly, you know, I think having that kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's a blessing in disguise to have a smaller number of scholarships, but because of the way that they have recruited over the past 4 years and the depth, while we may not know the names, but the depth that is on this roster, there weren't actually a whole bunch of needs, right? Now, again, I believe that, you know, and I think the majority of people feel this way, right, you're only as good as you are on the interior lines, both offensively and defensively. And so if you start there and work your way out, you're going to have an opportunity to have one heck of a football team. And to your point, right, stocking up on those linemen to go along with the other depth that they have built up that position, I think that was the wise play on Michael Desmo's part.
He also went out and got himself a couple skill position guys, the Zachary wide receiver, who was supposed to sign during the early period. He doesn't, but he does follow up on that commitment in February. And then they add the guy right down the road in Franklin. Of course, Coach Dez is from the New Iberia area, so Franklin's not that far. He's familiar with St. Mary Parish. And they get a guy that they kind of were late on, but were happy that they were able to lock up and they believe can play running back for them.
Yeah, you know, Zylan Williams there, the athlete you're talking about out of Franklin, goes 5'11", 180 pounds. And, you know, talking with Tim Leger and actually reading, you know, our good friend Kevin's article over at theadvocate.com, you know, Tim and the staff feel that he can get up to 205, you know, probably one of the time he's, you know, had a good year or two in the system, right, and gets into that college weight room, you know, gets into those the meal plans and all the stuff that they are able to provide. And so, again, for Louisiana, right, it's really dealing out of almost a position of strength in the fact that they can be selective and go after and target certain guys and to fill a few certain needs. Just, again, this is going to be the common theme, but going back and looking at that roster and the depth chart that they have built up. You know, you mentioned Charles Robinson, another big-framed wide receiver, 6'1". Just 172 pounds, so he's got to put a little bit of weight on himself, which he'll do, you know, once he gets to campus. And again, yes, you lose a Kyron Lacy, but still, I think a really deep position for Louisiana, you know, with John Stevens Jr. and you know, and the rest of that crew coming back.
So they have limited amount of scholarships to give to the whole period. They only signed a handful of guys yesterday, 13 for the class, as you mentioned, Cody, but all positions in need. And when you talk to the coaches, including Dez and all the assistants who were there at the stadium club for yesterday's presser, they're all really excited about the guys they have coming back. And I know a lot of times that's coach speak. I get it. I understand that. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. But I really think they feel like the guys that they do have coming back, being in the program, being in the system that they have, that they're ready to take that next step up here during spring ball. Are we going to be surprised by some of these guys that maybe haven't got a ton of reps or haven't got a ton of stats and how they perform during the spring?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the key there, right, is so when you look at how the last 3 years have transpired, right, going back to 2019, you know, I guess really the year before when Billy Napier got here, 2018, a really, really young roster, right? You know, Coach Napier talked constantly in that first and second year about the number of first and second year players that were on that roster. So you get into 20, you get out of Napier's first year in 18, you get into 19, 10 win season, and all of those young guys were contributors. Well, guess what? They were all back in 20, and a good number of them were back for an extra year in 21, right? And so what that tells you is along that same timeline, the Cajuns have had the top class in the Sun Belt Conference and, you know, a top group of five class throughout the country in each of those last 3 years. So, you know, you look on, you pull up your favorite recruiting website, you see who Louisiana was beating out, right? Beating out SEC programs, beating out Big 12 programs, beating out other Power Fives, as well as their, you know, their peers in the group of five for these kids. So the talent, I'm not concerned about, right? The question is going to be reps, and the question is going to be experience. So long-winded way of saying, yeah, I do think that they are comfortable with, again, going back to the depth on the depth chart of where they at because of the way that they've recruited over the past 4 years.
We're talking with Cody Juneau, Cajuns sideline reporter. He joins us here on 103.7 The Game, talking all things Raging Cajuns. The other thing, kind of circle back to the offensive line, if you don't mind, Cody, is they bring in these guys, right, two, you know, the two high school kids and then, well, three high school kids for the whole period and obviously the Michigan State transfer. But they also have some guys that I know, talking to Coach Ross, they're really high on that are coming back. Obviously, Gilly started, what, half of the games last year when Osiris Torrance was injured and performed very well. He's going to be your anchor. You still got Mackey, the big, huge kid from Mandeville, who, you know, was already on the roster last year. Jax Harrington from Erath got a lot of playing time last year but then got injured. And then you had the ULM transfer who wasn't able to get on the field last year. So they still got guys that have game reps that are coming back as part of this offensive line.
Yeah, they're hoping they can get T.J. Faialoa back. I think that one might still kind of be up in the air. I would say another name who saw playing time as the season progressed, and a young man that was taken as a project from the get-go. But again, it speaks to the way that they were recruiting and what, you know, I'm telling you, Billy Napier, in my opinion, his greatest gift was the evaluation part of the process there. But Tyler Brown, right? 6'3",
oh, yeah.
320-pounder who saw a good bit of playing time. You know, when you look at that Louisiana offensive line, that's where the bulk of, you know, obviously you're going to have to replace your quarterback and you lost two, you know, your two best running backs to the transfer portal. And that line took a hit with Osiris Torrance leaving as well. But again, it's not like a broken record, kind of the depth in the way that which they recruited, right? And so, you know, the other thing about the Cajuns, the way that they practiced and the way that they played is they constantly rotated folks in and out, right? Like, you know, the offensive line saw reps. There weren't just five guys or six guys that played. There were a group of seven or eight that played throughout the course of a contest on a pretty regular basis. And to your point, AJ Gilley, Tyler Brown, Jax Harrington, when he wasn't hurt, another one of those guys. So I think that they feel good about the depth, right, that they have. You know, you've got a big guy in King McGowan, 6'5", 308. Interesting to see how he kind of turns out as things kind of continue to progress. It's going to be a really, really interesting spring out there at Cajun Field.
What are some of the, now that the signing class is done and transfer portal is done, or done for now, rather.
Done for now.
Done for
it's
now.
The asterisk right there.
Yes.
Because here's the transfer portal is never done.
No, it's never done. Everyone's going to be focused on quarterback, Cody, and I get it. Chandler Fields and all the rest of the guys, who's going to replace Levi? More importantly than his play is his leadership, in my opinion, but I know that's going to be the one that is going to grab all the headlines. Give me a position group or two that you are looking forward to that's going to be just as important as what goes on under center.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think you got to start at the running back position, right? You got to replace Sun Belt Conference Freshman of the Year. So, you know, for me, right, the running back position. But you think of, again, the depth that they have built up there. Replacing Imani Bailey, who in my opinion was the Cajuns' best back, especially as the season kind of went along. So I think that's going to be one position. And then I think the position we just talked about, the offensive line. And, you know, when we saw the Cajuns struggle up front to start the season, it was, in my opinion, getting used to a new head coach and then a lack of really kind of gelling together just from a pure reps standpoint. So I think year two, Jeff Norah coaching the offensive line, you get Brian Ross back, who some of the older guys will be familiar with. He returns from Grambling to help out the Cajuns. You know, for me, it's the running backs is going to be the flashy position, and obviously all eyes will be on the quarterback because, I mean, you go as your quarterback goes. But for me, I think that the most interesting thing to watch is who's going to be kind of that 5, 6, 7 group of guys that the Cajuns are able to plug and play up front.
Cody, always appreciate the time, brother. I know you're immensely busy. Keep up the tremendous work, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, RP3, anytime.
We got to take a timeout. Cody Juno delivering the goods. I agree. Everyone's going to be focused on quarterback, offensive line, running back. Oh, man, there's going to be a lot of intriguing storylines for the Raging Cajuns in the springtime. We got to take a timeout. Wrap up hour number one. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber.
Back to more Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game. Acadiana Sports Station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
It's been National Signing Day heavy as expected as we recapping the action from yesterday for the Raging Cajuns and for the LSU Tigers. But I want to touch on something hoops related here shortly as we wrap up hour number one on this edition of Crunch Time. Xavier Pinson. Ooh, man. So it gets reported that LSU is going to start scaling back his playing time. Remember, Xavier Pinson comes in. He's the transfer. He's the point guard for this team. Leads him to an undefeated start to the season. They get humbled, punched in the mouth by Auburn, bounce back, beat Kentucky, beat Tennessee, both of those ranked teams, right? Boom. Then he gets hurt. At first, we're told it's a bone bruise, right? That's what we're informed. And I was informed earlier this morning by longtime listener of 103.7 The Game, my buddy Doc, who's an actual doctor, because I was questioning if it's just a bone bruise, he was out for like a month, should he still be this hobbled? And Doc explained it to me that, well, it depends on the severity of the bone bruise, and it can take a long time. More than just a month. It can take multiple months, sometimes even up to a year, so which I didn't realize. So Doc educated me, and I appreciate him for that. But he misses 5 games. He comes back. He's played 7 minutes and 3 minutes, and not a factor. And they say now that he is at 50% after being out for a month recovering from the bone bruise. He can only go 7 to 3 minutes in a game. The last 2 games, he's went a total of 10 to 11 minutes. Not a factor. And now they're saying that they're going to have to scale back his workload from there. He's only functioning at 50%.
Why is he on the court?
Then why is he on the court? Yeah.
If you're only going to play your star point guard for 3 minutes because he's at maybe 50%, don't have him on the court because you're only going to worsen the injury or injure something else.
You got to get to a point where you're getting pretty close to having to shut him down, right?
Essentially.
Look, if it's February the 3rd. That injury is not going to heal itself with him playing. He's going to have time off to make it heal, right? I think we're all in agreement there. So if he's in excruciating pain every time he steps onto the court, and you're only going to get a max of him being 50%, and after playing 7 minutes and 3 minutes in back-to-back games, you're like, well, we got to scale it back. How's he going to be a factor for this team? And where's the scoring going to come from? Xavier's not a great scorer, James, but their best scorer, they lost in preseason, he hasn't played. He's out. Now you got your starting point guard. He's out. And Murray, who's a bit of a scorer, well, he's got a bum hand. He's got a bum hand. And Eason is, I don't know what happened to him. Are you going to be counting on Darius Days to be your offensive leader if you're LSU? Because if that's the case, it's going to be a short postseason trip for the LSU Tigers. Defense is going to keep them in games, but they don't have a dog just to go out there and overtake a game and say, I'm going to get these buckets. They don't have that guy, and that's going to hinder them. And now Xavier Pinson's going to have to be scaled back. Ooh, not great. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two coming up. We'll take your phone calls. Hotline's open, 337-706-0111. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
You're now listening to Crunch Time. No hot takes, no gimmicks. You love sports, he lives them. So buckle up your chin straps because it's time to wrap up your workday with Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Hour number two has arrived. First hour in the books. What do we got store for you? Talking a little bit more National Signing Day with Mike Scarborough, who will join us talking about the LSU perspective. Also get some hoops talk with him as well. That'll be coming up half an hour from right now, so you got to stay tuned for that. Hour number one, we discuss National Signing Day. Transitional classes for both the Raging Cajuns, Coach Dez, and Brian Kelly at LSU, both first-year coaches at their new jobs. Know some disappointment among LSU fans about how that went down for the Tigers as they missed out on some in-state prospects, but that happens every year. You're always going to have a few guys in the state that you're not going to be able to sign. Always. 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 So you just go with it. You roll with it. You beefed up your numbers. 27 guys have been added, and I don't think Brian Kelly and company are done with the transfer portal either. So even though Trevante Citizen goes to Miami, and it's a weird thing in Southwest Louisiana, by the way, over in our friends in the Lake Charles area, westward on I-10, Trevante Citizen goes to Miami. Trevor Etienne, the younger brother of Travis, you know, the national championship winning, the ACC's all-time leading rusher, Travis Etienne for the Clemson Tigers. Yeah. They lost out, LSU lost out on Travis a couple years ago, and his younger brother, he goes to Florida to go play for Billy Napier. Now, you look at it at first glance, you're like, well, why is that happening? It's a bit of an anomaly. Usually, if you don't get one of the brothers, you don't get the other, right? So really, Trevor going to Florida instead of Clemson is a bigger thing than him not coming to LSU, right? Because Dabo Swinney couldn't get one of their best players ever, the little brother, to come play for them, even though their hat was on the table. The tight end from Westgate hurts, right? Danny Lewis, we all thought he was going to go to LSU. He did the video with Brian Kelly. There's a connection with Kayshawn Boutte, his former teammate in high school. It made a lot of sense. But then Nick Saban came in and said, enough of that. And the Westgate Stars headed to Tuscaloosa. And then, of course, Jacoby, who was an LSU commit, but then reopened it. Safety from Ponchatoula heads over to be part of Texas A&M's number one overall recruiting class, considered to be the greatest recruiting class of all time. Here's my issue with those things. Shall I have a moment to rant about this, Mr. Mesh, if you don't mind, sir? Producer extraordinaire James Mesh rejoins us.
Go right on ahead.
Rankings are silly. They just are, right? Remember a couple weeks ago when we were gearing up during the playoffs and they showed like the rivals rankings or the 247 sports rankings for all these guys that were playing in like championship weekend? Travis Kelce was like a 3-star. Tyreek Hill was a 3-star. Patrick Mahomes was a 3-star. All these guys were not highly recruited guys, right?
Jefferson was a 2-star.
Justin Jefferson was a 2-star. Yeah. Guy's already a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL in 2 years. You see what I'm saying here? Now, the argument is RP3. You gotta sign all those 5-stars. Recruiting rankings matter because look at what Alabama and Georgia are doing year after year, and that's what Texas A&M's trying to do. You have to dominate recruiting. You have to get all those 5-stars, those 4-stars, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to compete for a national title. Okay. Let's say I buy that argument, which I don't, but let's say I buy it. Can we go back to LSU's national championship team? Considered to be the greatest team of all time, right? That's what I've been told. Correct?
It's definitely up there.
01 Miami, 95 Nebraska, and then it's LSU, right? Those are the three that compete for the greatest college football team of all time. I watched all of them, been alive for all of them. Covered one firsthand. So LSU's the greatest team of all time, correct?
Yeah, let's go with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Joe Burrow a 5-star quarterback coming out of high school?
No, he was not.
He was a 3-star?
I think so.
Yeah, there we go. Justin Jefferson, was he a 5-star wide receiver coming out of high school?
No.
We've already proved he was a 2-star, right?
I believe he was a 2-star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about Ja'Marr Chase? Was he a 5-star? I know he's highly recruited, but was he a 5-star?
I don't think he was a 5-star. Mm-hmm.
What about Clyde Edwards-Helaire? He wasn't.
I think he was like a 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. What about any of those guys on that offensive line that were starters for the national championship team, the undefeated team, the greatest of all time? I'd be willing to bet you none of them were 5-star prospects either, right?
No, I don't think so.
You see where I'm going with this, right? And I've had this argument with people. I get it. We obsess so much about recruiting rankings. Well, we got to have it. My team's got to have a top 10 class. My team's got to have a top 15 class. rankings don't matter if you don't develop the guys once you get your hands on them. For years, a generation, LSU would try to get quarterbacks that they could never develop. And then Joe Burrow came. Right? Over and over again, you can have that star in front of your name or behind your name or however the website has it done these days. But if you don't put in the work yourself as a player, and if you're not developed by a coaching staff at the next level, you will not succeed. It's one thing to win the recruiting battle. It's another thing to develop said recruits and win titles. That's what Alabama has done so well. It's because they go and get those four stars. They go and get those five stars. They convince them to stay and be backups, earn their spot until they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors. But they also develop them into first-round, second-round NFL talent. Just because you're a five-star, four-star recruit coming out of high school does not mean you can play in the NFL. There's very few guys that I've ever seen in high school that you go and you see them in their freshman year in college and you go, that guy's ready to play in the NFL. Adrian Peterson's top on that list. You watched him as a freshman at Oklahoma and you're like, that guy's ready right now. Like, he's just ready. There's very few guys that are just ready right off the bat. So you have to develop the players. So fans of the Bayou Bengals, fans of the Raging Cajuns, stop obsessing about the recruiting rankings. Just stop. It's all about development. Look what just happened right in our backyard, James. The Raging Cajuns signed guys that were 2- and 3-star athletes, right? Kyron Lacy. Others. Right?
Yeah, a lot of 2- and 3-stars.
That's what they have to, right? Mm-hmm. Montrell Johnson. Others. Imani Bailey, right? They worked with them. The kids put in the work. That's half of it. But then the coaching staff under Billy Napier developed those 2- and 3-stars. And now, where are those guys playing? After being developed and being under the system and being developed by the Raging Cajun assistant coaches when they were under-recruited coming out of high school, or maybe they were too small, or maybe they didn't hit a growth spurt, or maybe they were just undervalued because they played in an area that wasn't recruited well. We got two guys from the Cajuns playing for LSU now on the roster. Went through the transfer portal on Brian Kelly, and LSU, a dominant SEC team, said, we need these people. Another couple guys went to Florida to go play for Billy Napier, and another guy went to TCU. Development is key. Development is key. You can have all those guys. How much of an impact has Cardell Thomas had at LSU? LSU fan? He hasn't. One, because he's been injured. The other part is, if you talk to people close to the program, they say the big fella who dominated smaller players during high school couldn't win his one-on-one battles in practice against other guys that were just as good as him. And that's why Cardell Thomas is not on the field as much as he should be. After he was much a very regarded prospect, it's a feather in the cap for them to sign Cardell Thomas. If you don't develop, if the player doesn't develop, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. So I understand. It's easy. You want to digest it. Oh, which 3-star we got? Which 4-star we got? And then not all the recruiting services value guys the same way. Rivals and 247 don't always agree. They look at one guy and they'll say he's a 4-star. They look at another, the same guy. The other service says he's a 3-star. Development matters. Research and development department here at 103.7 The Game is hard at work. I see steam coming out of my man's ears. He's working that hard on the laptop. What have you uncovered, producer extraordinaire James Mesh?
Well, I just want to look at some of the players because I wanted to, like, I was doing everything on 247. And Jamar was a 4. Joe was a 4. Jay Jettis.
But was Joe a 4 when he got to LSU? I'm talking about when Joe came out of high school. Keep going. You had other information. I'm sorry. I did not mean to derail you.
Justin was a 3. Clyde was a 3. Levi was a 3. Montrell was a 3. Osiris Torrance was a 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look at Max Mitchell, and he has no stars.
There you go. Max Mitchell, who, by the way, is turning heads in Mobile at the Reese's Senior Bowl. They keep showing videos of him dominating his matchups with defensive linemen. Max Mitchell is going to get to the NFL. I wonder how many stars Robert Hunt and Kevin Dotson had, too, by the way. Weren't they starting in the NFL? There we go. See? Star ratings are what they are. I get it. I understand. It's easy. It's like potato chips. It's easy to digest, right? but you'd much rather have a steak dinner, okay? Just saying. Don't get obsessed about recruiting. And I got a little bit of a good discussion with that on somebody on social media. I was like, look, there's guys that are under-recruited all the time that prove to be difference makers. Take out the stuff for NFL. Take away the comparisons of what they're doing in the NFL. Just look at the guys on that LSU team. Considered the greatest team of all time. Not a lot of five-stars on that roster. Not a lot of five-stars starting. Just saying.
I see Hunt as a two-star, and I wanted to look at Joe, and it still shows four.
Really?
Yeah. Which I didn't think that was incorrect.
No, that's probably right.
Because Ohio State usually does get 4 to 5 star.
And you're going through 247, right?
I was looking at 247, and then for Joe, I also looked at ESPN, and it's a four as well.
But not a 5 star, right?
No 4 star. No 5 star. Everybody that I looked up thus far was 4 and below.
For LSU's national championship team?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing how that works out. You get the right coaches to develop the players. That's what makes a difference. Talent is key. Don't get me wrong. I'm not devaluing the talent of high school prospects. It's not what I'm doing here. But talent is only half of it. You got to develop it the rest of the way. Got to develop the rest of the way. Love to hear from you. Get your takes as well. Hotline's open, 337-706-0111. James, last time we spoke, the New Orleans Pelicans were still a bad basketball team. That has not changed, correct?
No, unfortunately, it has not changed.
There we go. All right. I was just double-checking.
I mean, they beat the Pistons, but it's like, I mean, the Pistons have a worse
record.
Oh, come on. It's like
the Pistons? You're not counting that. We're not counting that. Are we counting that? Is that a win.
It is a win.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Got to take baby steps.
You have to crawl before you walk.
People are just so optimistic. And Zion coming back and how good this team is going to be. And I've heard that all before. Haven't we? Haven't we heard that before? We're going on 3 years of hearing that, right?
It sounds kind of
familiar. We're nearly a presidential term into David Griffin's tenure as the man in charge of the Pelicans, and they still are not a playoff team. Oh, just saying. Well, Zion's hurt. Well, you drafted a guy who had injury issues in high school and college. Hey, John Morant, how's he doing? Oh, yeah. That's got to sting a little bit. It'll be fun watching the Grizzlies play in the playoffs. Got to take a timeout. More of Crunch Time coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber.
Time to open up the vault for the 103.7 The Game's This Day in Sports History.
February 3rd. 2002, the New England Patriots defeat the St. Louis Rams 20-17 to win Super Bowl 36 inside the Louisiana Superdome. The win kicks off a dynasty for the franchise, which wins 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. The Patriots would also win Super Bowls in 2015, 2017, and 2019. That was This Day in Sports History on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Hey, man, listen up. If you haven't signed up for the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse Rewards Club, then you need to do so today, okay? Weather's kind of crappy outside, okay? Maybe you're feeling a little blue. Maybe you don't have a lady friend in your life for Valentine's Day. We're here to make yourself feel better. No, we can't hook you up with anyone. Okay, we don't have that type of power. We don't have that type of game, even though James Mesh is a man about town. What we can do is hook you up with free stuff. That's right, free stuff. It's in the rewards club waiting for you to take it. It's that simple. Go sign up. It's free to do so. Once you become a member, you'll have the opportunity to score free stuff. Like, wait for it, a $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse, one of my favorite places to go in all of Acadiana. I've been there several times. Great steaks, mouth-watering steaks. They cook. You tell them exactly how you want your steak cooked, guess what? They're going to make it happen. side dishes, adult beverages, a cigar room. It's an amazing place to have a meal. Mr. Lester Steakhouse, we want to give you that $150 gift certificate to go dine there, but we can only give it to you guys if you go sign up for the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. So go do so today. It's free to do so. Make yourself feel better about your life. Win a gift certificate. That always makes me feel good. All right, James, let's address something. Let's address the elephant in the room. When are you going to get to the point where you forgive Clint Domain for stealing your chicken McNugget?
I guess when he buys me dinner. I don't know. That's tough to forgive.
Because here's the other part of it. Yeah, he took a McNugget. Just one. And I know what you're thinking. You're out there listening. You're like, what's the big deal, RP3? One McNugget. Okay. But do you feel confident, James, knowing that he only put his hands in the chicken McNugget box and grabbed one McNugget? Are you confident that that's what happened? Or do you believe maybe you ate some manhandled chicken McNuggets by Clint Domain?
That is a good possibility. He does he does have some paws.
My man is a big fella.
He just grabbed it all and said, this one, and put the rest
He's
back.
Like the guy from the goldfish commercial. One goldfish.
Boban?
Yeah. Two goldfish. No, he's not that big. So are you going to forgive him? Can we move forward? Because this is crippling 103.7 The Game. Controversy, this scandal is rocking us to our core, and I'm trying to keep us together.
You know what this energy reminds me of? Whenever Lewis hit Hannah with the Nerf ball. That's what I'm getting those kind of vibes.
I still remember that like it happened yesterday. And he was just playing on the Nerf goal, hooping it up, and hit her in the face and then hit her in the chest. The Nerf ball. He was so apologetic. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I saw it. And of course, I made it show fodder because that's what I do. I pulled her up. First time Hannah was ever, first time she spoke on the air, I put her in the chair. I said, hey, come in here. We need to talk. And Lewis was like, What's he doing? And I was like, then I laid it out completely for everyone. And Lewis just laughed.
But I guess at that point, I mean, I was kind of shaming her for playing victim so hard, but here I am playing it up.
It's okay, bud. It's okay. You're going to be okay.
Do I get an acting role now?
Ooh. In our next commercial? Is that what you want to do?
Maybe.
You want to be featured prominently in our next 103.7 The Game TV spot?
Perhaps.
Is there enough space in a television commercial for the station that will feature the big, bald, and beautiful one, yours truly, and you?
Maybe.
If that means me sacrificing some airtime for you, James, that's what I'm going to do, bud. That's what I'm going to do.
Sacrifices.
It's all about sacrifices. We've been talking a lot about National Signing Day in addition to the Chicken McNugget caper. And Coach Dez talked to us yesterday, had it there at the Stadium Club at Russo Park. Great facility. Great place to have a press conference or an event. I've been to several there so far. Lots of people in attendance. They were happy. Lots of Raging Cajun supporters were there. And all the assistant coaches and Coach Dez broke down the signing class. Once again, only 13, but positions of need. They added a wide receiver. They added a running back. They have added four offensive linemen during the entire recruiting cycle. And he talked about the local guys in particular, put the spotlight on them. And we're going to start off with what Coach Dez had to say about Trent Murphy, the big fella from Opelousas High School, offensive lineman.
You know, a lot of these guys, what I tell you is turn on the tape, you know, go look at their highlights. You can see him. But he's incredibly athletic. He's long, really, really smart kid. Academically, he's in great shape. He knows what he wants to be. He's got an idea for what he wants to do and majoring in his future career, which a lot of 18-year-olds have no idea. So he's really impressive maturity-wise. The family is unbelievable. He's a high-character kid, and he fits the mold, you know, a lot of – these guys, I'm going to go back to this multiple times. A lot of their recruiting reminds me of some of the players here that we've been really successful with. And Trent kind of fits in really in every category you'd want.
That's a good sign. They recruit a certain kind of player. And it's not to say that during Billy's tenure that there weren't selfish players on the roster. Okay? But when you cover a team as long as I have, And I covered the Cajuns from Hudspeth through Napier and now to Coach Dez. You listen to the kids talk. Just not in generic press conference settings, but when you do a story on them and you pull them off in the hallway and you're talking to them and you kind of build up a nice rapport with these guys, these kids, right? Whether that was Elijah Mitchell or Shane Vallow or Levi Lewis or whoever it might be. Zion Hill springs to mind. They all kind of have similar traits. And what I mean by that is they make it a priority to maybe they're recruiting a guy who's a two-star or three-star, but they're going to recruit someone who's smart and who's an unselfish guy. Talk to Max Mitchell. Max Mitchell is tearing it up in the Senior Bowl right now. My man's going to get drafted. Never once did I ever hear Max Mitchell sound boisterous when talking about something or demonstrative. He's very businesslike, very humble. It's about the team. It's about the concept, right? They do a nice job. I'm not saying that there's not selfish, me-first guys on the team, because any team's going to have that. But it sure does seem like to me that the Raging Cajuns under Napier, and Dez seems to be very much focused on keeping that going, they're going after the unselfish guys, right? They're maybe going after guys that aren't as flashy. I think that's important to them. So when you hear them say, it reminds me of guys that have been here before, they're not just saying that because of the physical gifts. They're talking about how he carries himself as well. Another one, local prospect, Zylon Perry, a guy who played quarterback and defensive back at Franklin High for the Hornets, but is going to play running back for them. A little undersized than you may think, but he's got the big shoulders. He looks the part. And Coach Dez, this is what he had to say about the young man from Franklin.
I think Zylon is someone that's really exciting. You know, I've got a soft spot for quarterbacks that are high school quarterbacks that are good athletes that come in here. The guy does everything for them. You know, he can throw it, he runs it, he returns kicks. He's got a lot of position flexibility. He's a guy that, you know, you just watch him and he's continually making plays, play after play after play. You go up and down, you know, Highway 90 from, you know, when you get to Iberia Parish all the way through, everyone in that area, they talk about Zylon Perry. And he's a kid that, you know, early on we didn't have a whole lot of room for, wasn't really on the board, on the radar. And then as things progressed, you know, we sat down as a staff and it was no denying that we needed to go and try to get this guy to be a part of what we're doing here.
Not surprised that they recruited local, not surprised that they stayed in the state. This is going to be their bread and butter, right? They'll go poach some kids from Texas. They'll get some kids elsewhere, but it's going to be Louisiana kids and it's going to be kids from Acadiana. Look at the staff. And I know some Raging Cajun fans don't want to hear this. I like this. I personally like his approach. I personally like the fact that they went with Coach Dez. And look at his staff. It's all guys that have been there before. Hell, Munoz was a longtime coordinator. He was at LSU again. He won a national championship with Joe Burrow as an analyst. He's coming back to UL to coach the tight ends, James. He could be making double what he's making, triple what he's making, being a position coach or an analyst for a Power 5 school. He's back because he coached Dez. He knows Dez. Offensive line coach Ross was not here last season, but was previously with the Raging Cajuns, worked with Dez, wanted to come back, jumped at the chance. All these guys jumped at the chance to come back. Hell, Bergeron, who's coaching the running backs, young kid from Mandeville, he was going to be an analyst for Billy Napier at Florida. Was going, traveling to Florida to take that job. He got the phone call from Dez. He turned around. He came back to be the running backs coach. I'm telling you, the guys here want to be here, and they're going to put together a roster of guys that want to be here. Don't be surprised if it works out. Now, are they going to win 13 games? I don't know. Probably not. But could they win 8, 9, 10 games on a regular basis? Go to bowl games? Yep. And that's some great consistency for a group of five school. We got to take a timeout. When we return, Mike Scarborough is going to join us. We're going to talk some LSU for you. That's coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber.
103.7 The Game covers all your favorite college teams. Unless you root for the Aggies or willingly cheer on whatever the hell Auburn is. Seriously, Plainsmen, War Eagles, Tigers,
What the hell are they?
I gotta be honest with you. I'm a little confused there, Sasquatch.
Back to more talk on the college teams you love on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Hey, Louisiana, sports betting is officially here, and there is no better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Treasure Chest Casino. Right now, new customers can place their first bets risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit when you use promo code KLWB. That's why now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. The app is simple and easy to use with generous promos every day. It's safe and secure with best-in-class customer support. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook with promo code KLWB to start with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KLWB. Must be 21 and older and present in Louisiana. First online real money wager only. Refund used as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you or someone you know has a gambling addiction and wants help, call 1-877-770-STOP.
Welcome back to Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. I'm your fill-in host for the day, the big, bald, and beautiful one, RP3. Also known as Raymond Parts III. He is the producer extraordinaire, James Mesh. We've had a great show today, talking lots of National Signing Day, obviously. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that with our next guest. He's the owner, publisher, and recruiting analyst for TigerBait.com. That's the number one source for LSU sports and recruiting news. Welcome back to the program, Mike Scarborough. Mike, good day to you, bud. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. I made it home fighting Baton Rouge traffic, which is the worst in the world.
So bad.
It's probably similar to Ambassador Caffrey right now.
Ambassador cannot hold a torch, my friend, to Baton Rouge traffic in the afternoon. That's undefeated. That's like the LSU national championship team from a couple of years ago. It can never be taken down. All right.
Yeah.
So, look, I heard from a lot of pissy LSU fans yesterday for National Signing Day because guys that LSU had targeted had left the state and went elsewhere. Mike, were you as upset by that, or is that just what's to be expected because that happens every year because of the level of talent the state produces, correct?
Well, no, it's a transition year with a new coaching staff trying to find their way. So you're behind with a lot of kids. But in reality, though, it was compounded by the NIL era of things and LSU not being prepared. And, of course, rightfully, and those coaches are the chum was in the water, and they're going to say, look, this is an opportune time to go into Louisiana and try and get some of those kids, now that the door is open before Kelly has a chance to get entrenched and close it. And so between that and the NIL money, you just don't expect to lose a Danny Lewis from Westgate. We know about the three wide receivers back in December. The one that I really think stings the worst is Aaron Anderson, which, of course, all the other recruiting services caught up to me last week and gave him his fifth star. So that's one that you're going to have to watch zigzagging all over the field at Alabama for the next 3 or 4 years. So, Citizen at Lake Charles Prep, the running back.
He chose Miami. He chose Miami.
What's that?
He chose Miami. Yeah. That's what stunned me. I was like, Miami? Really?
Yeah. Well, and it's the NIL deal. And, of course, Cristobal was the guy that was on my first hot board when Orgeron got fired. And the guy can recruit, but that was also an NIL deal. So,
and you also had Billy Napier at Florida come in and take guys that LSU wanted as well at running back and wide receiver too.
Yeah. So it's HN didn't have an offer from LSU.
That's right.
But
the wide receiver out of Texas did, though. That was the other guy that they wanted.
Yeah, Caleb Douglas. Yeah. But that's a kid that LSU offered 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, in my mind, do you really need a receiver? LSU's
no.
The roster's full of receivers. So LSU's got five spots left, and you need to start with a center, you know, in the summer. And then you get you a tight end because you lost Danny Lewis. Some of those hurt. But I think, you know, obviously you look at LSU's transfer portal guys that they got. That kind of softens the blow. And then, of course, Harold Perkins choosing LSU yesterday afternoon was a really, really nice shot in the arm because he is the number one player in the state of Texas, a difference maker, a linebacker that's got ball skills like Tyrann Mathieu. And so,
Mike, is he the best linebacking recruit they've signed since Devin White?
That's a good question. Yeah, he's got to be.
Right, I mean, because he feels like to me he's a day one starter. Like, I mean, that's just how he feels to me from all the things that I've seen.
I will say this: Ryan Broniger, who covers recruiting for TexAgs.com, and I talked to him and Jason Howell and those guys that cover Texas kids. I think Ryan must have filmed him almost every other week during last football season because it was right in his backyard. He thinks that it might take him a while to get up to speed because, you know, he was a dual guy. He would play running back for him.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It depends on what they ask him to do and how quickly they can bring him along. So obviously he's not a midterm grad, but how quickly can you bring him up to speed in the summer? And so your defensive coordinator is also a linebacker's guru from the Chiefs. So, you know, we'll see how quickly they can bring him along. But whether he's a day one starter or not, he's got a super, super bright future.
All right, you kind of already alluded to it. Okay, so where it stands now, they've signed 27 guys from the early period, this traditional period, and then, of course, the transfer portal, which they have been masterful at. They got five spots left, you said, Mike. What are going to be the needs? List them to me.
I think it's center. To me, that's the biggie. And then from there, you know, do you get a tight end? Obviously, they feel that they want another wide receiver. I don't know why, but maybe they would use one on a receiver. And I still think at some point you're going to need a quarterback. Let's see how spring practice plays out. Does Miles Brennan look like the guy? What kind of shape will he be in? Is he healthy? How does Garrett Nussmeier look? How does he progress in Mike Denbrock's offense? Of course, you got Walker Howard there as well. But maybe do you see how things play out in spring, then also see how things play out in spring everywhere else across the country? Because you got to believe there's going to be some quarterbacks that lose a battle for their position that are going to put themselves in the portal in May and June. So there's going to be a whole new crop of transfer portal kids put in there in that time period. But, you know, you'll be getting them from somewhere besides the SEC because the deadline has passed to where an SEC player can go to another SEC school without having to sit out a year.
We're talking with Mike Scarborough. That's right. He's joining us here. He's the man that knows all about LSU recruiting. He's the man behind TigerBait.com. He joins us here on 103.7 The Game. All right, Mike, usually spring football is kind of ho-hum, right? It's glorified practice. It's nothing really to be intrigued by. But new coach, new players, and especially with so many position battles, is this the most intriguing spring football season for LSU in a number of years?
It is, and it's also a deal where, you know, from a media standpoint, we're going to be wondering, you know, does the access that we get change under Brian Kelly? I made a call today to the guys up at Irish Sports Daily. I'm saying, man, you know, Brian Kelly, what did he do up there in this situation? And getting a lay of the land, he's been known to give the media up there access to entire practices.
Correct.
Down here, we get three or four periods. And I'm also asking, hey, man, you know, does he seem to disappear for months at a time? Because we've now gone 2 months, exactly 2 months, since we've had Brian Kelly for a press conference. Every coach in America gave press conferences at the end of signing day yesterday, except Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I was that stood out to me. It was interesting that they didn't have one.
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking to Sports Information this morning. I think we might be getting him next week.
Okay.
So, but he does give access to coordinators a couple of times a year, and I'm also told that he likes to do Sunday Zoom calls during the season, like at noon.
What?
You know, I don't know if they still will do that, or they, you know, depend on what time the Saints are playing. But he, you know, so he is known to give the media more access than what we've had in the past. Now the question is, do they tell him, well, this is what we've always done, and does he adopt that? So hopefully he makes the SIDs here work a little bit harder than they have in the past, and they have to stay out there and practice every day for an hour and babysit us.
Mike, I brought up something earlier, and I want to get your take on this, because recruiting is your bread and butter, and this is what you kind of built your brand on, so to speak. And fans get fired up about the recruiting rankings, and I get it. I understand. I do. I really do. But I look back at that 2019 team, for example, that is considered to be one of the greatest college football teams, if not the greatest, of all time. Well, there's only, what, two, maybe three five-star starters, if that, on that team. A lot of three-stars and a lot of four-stars coming out of high school ended up being starters for a team that is the greatest in history. I guess my question to you is this, Mike. It's one thing to have the star ranking coming out of high school, but it's just as important, if you're a staff, to develop your talent, isn't it?
It is, and that's also where, I did a big interview today with somebody where it's talking about the three stars, the number of three stars that develop. Well, one of the unfair things about this transfer era and this basically free agency is that if you're at a mid-major football program and you take a flyer on a kid that's maybe undersized or doesn't have the measurables, and all of a sudden he develops into a great football player, if you're sitting there at a stands in a mid-major football game and you're saying, boy, this kid so-and-so is really something else, your next thought is, well, that kid's going to be in the transfer portal because he now knows that he can play in the SEC or he can go play in the Big 12. You know, whatever it might be. And so something's got to be done. To me, that is unfair. And so something's got to be done with the transfer portal to remedy some of that, because you don't want mid-major programs to be almost like a junior college system for the major Power Five guys just to go in and pick your pocket at the end of every semester.
It's a good point, Mike. It's a good point, and I worry about that as well, brother. Look, man, appreciate your time. Tell the people where they can go to read all of your stuff and how to follow you on social media, my friend.
That's it. Go to TigerBait.com, LSU Tigers on TigerBait on YouTube, and you can follow me on Twitter at Scarborough Mike.
Mike, always appreciate your time, bud. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon.
Uh-huh, man. Enjoy it. Talk soon.
We got to take a timeout, our final one of today's show. We'll wrap it up. Put a bow on it, so to speak, here on Crunch Time. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS Fiber.
Back to more Crunch Time here on 103.7 The Game. Acadiana Sports Station. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Oh, we only got a few minutes here before we have to wrap up this edition of Crunch Time with your fill-in host, Raymond Parch III, that's my name, I do believe, better known as RP3. The great Gazzolo will be back in the chair tomorrow. That, if we're going to be honest, is Mesh's favorite fill-in host. He just is. Him and Big Jimbo, they cut it up. There's plenty of shenanigans involved. It's good stuff. You got to tune in tomorrow, 4 to 6. Want to take a moment to thank Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait. Cody Juno, Raging Cajun sideline reporter, joining us, recapping signing day for both the LSU Tigers and the UL Raging Cajuns. And I'll say the same thing that both of our guests said and bring home the point that this is a transitional year for both of these teams. New head coaches taking over, not having a full year in the recruiting cycle, coaching staff changes. Some guys decommit. Some guys enter the transfer portal. On top of it, you have the transfer portal and NIL deals. It makes it far more difficult than it used to be. But I think it's a good start for both Brian Kelly and Coach Dez. I want to thank our callers. Shout out to them for making us part of their afternoon commute. Appreciate that. And shout out to James Mesh. We've talked about it now for a couple days. It's been show fodder. We're going to abandon it. We're going to put it aside. You're going to forgive Clint Domain for stealing your Chicken McNugget, and he's going to buy you something to make up for it. And that's what's going to happen.
I expect nothing less.
And we're all going to move forward. We're all going to be better because of it. The Game family, strong. We're like the Fast and the Furious family. You know, we may have our differences. We may have our squabbles. But at the end of the day, it's all about family. Boom. It's all about living your life a quarter mile at a time, and it's all about family. And it's all about taking bad guys from one movie and turning them into part of the crew two movies down the road. A tradition like none other, Fast and the Furious. It's a saga, you know. It's a saga. They're 9 movies in, dude.
9.
I think that's 9 just of the Fast, not counting Hobbs and Shaw. They're 10. We've had 10 Fast and Furious movies. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that all started from a movie that was a remake of Point Break, essentially, just with cars. For the producer extraordinaire, James Mesh, I'm Raymond Parks III, better known as RP3. You can tune in tomorrow morning for me, 6 to 9, for RP3 and Company. But until then, be safe out there. Be kind to one another. We're out.